consecutive time in the last six seasons, the Dutch are the champions.
This is Gary O'Neill to win it.
They've got it! Terrific header, Callum Robinson, super ball in.
Great feeling, we have to treasure these nights.
Well, hello there, good to have you with us. It's the RTE Soccer Podcast, or football podcast if you prefer. James O'Toole, as ever, is here, and also Conan Byrne. And I'm delighted to say we're joined by the captain of Shamrock Rovers, Ronan Finn. Conan, James, Bula Bus for Ronan and for Shamrock Rovers. Come on.
Yeah, we have to give them applause for that, in fairness.
Well done, well done. Congratulations, Ronan.
Cheers, thanks a million. Thanks,
you didn't have to kick a ball, but you got over the line.
Yeah, listen, it was maybe not the way we thought we'd win it. We thought we'd have to go to Tala on Wednesday and get a result. But listen, yeah, nice to get over the line no matter what way it happened. And there was a bit of crack the other night through text messages, but that's all it was, unfortunately.
Were you watching the match on Watch LOI? Or?
Yeah, no, I watched it. It was a good game. Top and halves actually played really well, so it was a big 3 points for them. They're obviously looking to, secure a Premier Division status for next season. So it was a big 3 points for them. I know they've still a bit to do, but it was a good game. And listen, obviously for us, it was a massive game in terms of determining the title coming back to Tala, and ultimately that's what happened. So now it was, we just, after the game, we had a bit of crack just in the WhatsApp group, and that's all it was. So strange times, but listen, brilliant to have the title back in Tala and be back on top of the league and league champions.
And just in case people don't know, Bohemians beaten at home by Finn Harps. That's an important win for Finn Harps. 2-0 Mark Russell with both goals for Finn Harps. That, coupled with a result at the Showgrounds a little earlier with Sligo Rovers beating Cork City, means that Cork City have been relegated. We'll come on to that very shortly. But an 18th league title for Shamrock Rovers, a first since 2011. You were there in 2011 as well. Talk to me about the WhatsApp group and what was said on it, because obviously you didn't get an opportunity on Saturday night to meet up and celebrate.
Yeah, so I mean, if I had been any other year, I suppose, winning it in them circumstances, you could have been watching the game and in somebody's house. We could have been in a hotel watching the game together as a group. But that wasn't to be, and we were all just watching it individually in our own homes. And then, I suppose, as the game transpires, it's 85 minutes, 86 minutes, and that's maybe only when the first message came in. I think lads were still too afraid to maybe make that first move and send in the message. So, listen, now, as the clock ticked down, we knew that it was inevitable that the title was going to be ours. And then we just had a bit of crack, I'm sure everybody... May I had a beer or a glass of wine or whatever it was themselves, and it's nice to relax that evening and knowing that you've hit your target, what you set to do at the start of the season. Obviously a strange season what it was, but I mean that was our goal, was to become league champions, and we achieved that.
And how many league medals now is that for you?
That's 4 Premier and 1 Fourth Division, which I always include because. The important medal for me, that was my first one. So 4 Premier Divisions, 1 Fourth Division.
Ronan, would you have preferred for Bowles to beat Finn Harps and then you can go out on Wednesday and do it with all the group together on against Derry?
No, not necessarily. I think for us it was important just to win the title, to get over the line. And I felt that if we had to win on Wednesday, we'd always have confidence, and especially in Tala, that we would have done that. But listen, I think we're going to enjoy Wednesday for what it is now as well. It's still a good game, and still, we don't want to suddenly drop our standards and start dropping points. And then we know that the cup is for us is it starts again up in mid-November, so you don't want to suddenly start getting sloppy, dropping points, and having to pick yourself up. But no, listen, I was delighted personally just to get the job done on Saturday night, no matter what way it was won. We know it's in the bag now and we can maybe enjoy these games a little bit more.
Yeah, Ron, obviously congratulations on what you said was your 4th Premier League title, but it does mean obviously you can take it a bit laxed on Wednesday night as well. Like, you don't have to go out and win on Wednesday night.
The potential there is that the manager can look at new lads, look at new players or young players coming through. So that's the beauty of having, kind of the Rovers second team lads are progressing really well in that. I'm not sure whether you look at that and give the lads an opportunity to come into the first team. But no, listen, Wednesday night, no matter what happens, the club will want 3 points. That's just how the manager has instilled this sort of belief into us. We're not going to suddenly start being sloppy and dropping points and taking our eye off the ball. But I know what you're saying. It is. It's an opportunity to maybe go out and enjoy the game and not having that added pressure of needing to win to get 3 points. Listen, ultimately, you've achieved what you set out to do at the start of the season. But at the same time, you don't want to just get sloppy and start dropping points either.
And Ronan, I guess you mentioned the fact that you've obviously won the league, but you'd still like perhaps to see out the league unbeaten, take a good run of form into the cup as well, because I'm sure you're going to be pushing hard now to make it a double.
Yeah, like that's the standards actually have been, you know, set from the manager right the way down to you know, into the group, every player. We train really hard every day, so I suppose if you suddenly come in and start dropping your standards and just dropping silly points, where then you have to know you have to pick yourself up again, come the game away in Harps. I think that's the middle of November in the quarter final of the cup. You don't want to have to do that. You want to keep that, like you said, that unbeaten run going, potential of earning you know, a good return of points from an 18 game season, and then obviously then rolling into the quarter final, like you said, you just don't want to suddenly drop your standards and then having the manager to start picking us up again. And but no, I think the group is strong. You know, we've been at it throughout the season, and since before lockdown, after lockdown, we've been fairly consistent, and hopefully we can maintain that right the way through to the end of the season.
Ronan, there's been talk of obviously Jack Bourne and Graham Bourke in your team, but who has impressed you the most this season?
It's a hard one. Like, I mean, Alan Manis is just, you know, he's just unbelievable. Like, I mean, you know, I'm not, I could be 37 years of age now, but I mean, the physical condition he is in, it's unbelievable. I played with Al in 2011, and you know, he's potentially a better keeper. I don't know. He's potentially a better keeper now than he is then. He's just someone that, you know, when Alan's in goal, you just feel very, very confident that you're going to keep a clean sheet. You know, to score a goal in training and Al, you're walking back and you're kind of happy. You know, he's that good. So Alan for us is just massive. And I mean, I think as soon as Alan came in into the club, there's no surprise that I think our points return really improved. And Alan is, you know, everybody, just because he's a goalkeeper, he maybe doesn't get the plaudits and the credits because he's not scoring the goals. But listen, he's an unbelievable keeper, and I think he's you know, one of the best keepers the league has ever seen, to be honest.
And Ronan, what about the fact that it has been or is a shortened season? I'm sure you'll have heard it said by fans of other clubs, well, there's always going to be an asterisk beside the year 2020 because of COVID, because it's a truncated season, just 18 matches in total. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, listen, I suppose everybody's entitled to their own opinion, and I can imagine people always try and begrudge the winners and then try and take you down a peg or two, but that's fine. I mean, there won't be an asterisk on the medal, I can assure you that. And there won't be an asterisk when, you know, we're playing Champions League football, and that's inevitably what it was. I mean, everybody was a fair crack at the whip for everybody. We'd all had 18 games. There was 5 games in when the decision was made, so it was quite early on in the season, so we were happy, you know, to roll in whatever way it was. If it was going to go on to a 27-game season, if it was going to extend right into mid-February, I mean, as players, you know, we'd never shun away from that. But no, listen, I suppose people are entitled to their own opinion. I think the fact that we've won the game or won the league with 4 games to spare would prove that we were, this season, that we were comfortably, you know, the best team in the league. You know, it's never easy to win the league. But on a shortened season, and then to win it with 4 games to go, I mean, I think it'd be fair to say that we're outright winners and we deserve it this year.
Absolutely, no doubt about that. Is there a standout moment or a point in the season? I know, again, it's been a curtailed season, but was there a point or a match or an instance where you thought to yourself, yeah, this could be our year, or, you know, a key turning point at any stage?
Yeah, there's 2 games really that stood out for me. The game prior to lockdown, that the game in Pala against Dundalk was a huge game, just a huge game in terms of the spectacle from the league. It was, you know, a brilliant occasion, a really full house in Pala. And the level of football on that night was probably as good as a game I've ever played in the League One. It was a really high technical game of football. And to come out of that game with 3 points just gave us that confidence, you know, that we won the cup last season. That game, it definitely gave us belief. But then coming out on top in a tight game like that, where maybe the year before we were on the wrong side of a tight game. I know Dundalk came to Pala and beat us 1-0, a very, very tight game. But that game, I think it was back in April, was a very tight game. And we went 1-0 up, then we went 2-0 down, 2-1 down, and then we came back and we got it back to 3-2. We showed great character. That was a huge moment. And then, you know, again, that instilled that confidence into the group that, you know, we could go on and achieve something this year. And then the Bohemians game, a couple of months ago, the 1-0 win in Tala, we scored very early and we soaked up then a bit of pressure throughout the game. And we didn't play particularly well that night, completely different maybe to the Dundalk game where we really passed the ball well. We didn't play, you know, in such a way the style of football that we generally try and play that day against Bohemians. But we ultimately came out with the 3 points. We kept a clean sheet and we won the game. And you look back on them two games and maybe even a game at the start of the season against Bowes and Daly Mount when it was stormy, messy conditions. We came out on top. Like, they're big games. And when you come out with maximum points, you really give yourself the best chance to go on and achieve something. And hopefully that's what we did.
Yeah, Ron, I think it's exactly what you just said. Like, last year, them tight games, you probably would have either drawn or lost them.
Yeah.
But now it seems like the one game I remember is the Derry game up in the Brandywell. You go 1-0 down to a freak goal.
Yeah.
But then as soon as that goal goes in, the next 5 minutes you're kind of going, Rovers are going to win this. There's no question. They might be down, but they're going to win this. And it's that kind of belief that seems to be in the squad. And in fairness to the guys in the backroom team, they said they've been building this for the last 2.5 years. And it seems to come, this is where it's now got to now. And as well as this asterisk, like, you've got a potential of 18 games of getting 50 points.
Yeah, you're right. And that, go back to that game up in Derry, that game was actually, we scored very late on, and it was actually the substitutes that came on that game that really affected the game and really got us over the line that day. And that just shows the value of the squad, because I remember the game I played, and we probably just didn't play that well on the night, but the subs that came on really affected the game, and they won us the game. And that's, you know, there was a really, the manager made that point after the game, that was just a complete team performance. You know, lads on the bench are disappointed, but they came on and they won us the game. So there was, you know, huge credit to all involved there, because obviously everybody wants to play. You know, the manager obviously can only play 11, but the value of the squad and, you know, is crucial. And I mean, the strength and depth that we have, and it come on and affect games. It wasn't just that game. It's been other games that, the bench has proven to be crucial for us. And, that's been massive this season. And then, it's the goal. If that's what you're saying, telling me 50 points is the target, that has to be the target. I mean, 18 game season, I know. In the past, you know, teams have won maybe a 36-game or a 33-league game season with 67 points. I was looking at a table earlier on this morning. So, I mean, to achieve 50 points potentially in an 18-game season is, would be commendable. But, I mean, still a lot of football to be played, and, you know, nobody will want to give us anything easy. So, we know what we have to do in terms of, like, being ready for the cup really for us now becomes the target, and when that rolls around, I'm sure we'll be ready.
Roland, from a personal point of view, you've been in the league now since 2005 when you signed for UCD under the scholarship scheme. We actually joined in the same day, but captaining a first division team in UCD and in 2009, and then going on to have the career that you had, did you ever imagine that you'd have the career you had?
Listen, I suppose you don't know, as we kind of, you know. You know, just as well as me, how important UCD was to young boys and still is. It gives you such an opportunity to come into the league and maybe showcase what you can do. The beauty UCD is, you can get an education while playing, and also playing at top level football in Ireland. So I think you look back through the years and the players that UCD have produced, a lot of them have went on to have good careers like yourself. So, I mean, I know coming through UCD, you get a great, not just an education off the ball, but like on the pitch, you know, you learn your trade, you learn under, like I learned like yourself under Pete Mann, then that developed into Mann Russell, and you do. Then all of a sudden, I became, I think, 22, 21 years of age, and then I moved on to Fingal, and then you step into full-time football, and, you know, you've learned your trade with UCD, I think, at 5 years, five great years there, and then all of a sudden, you're ready to step into full-time football, and listen, there's no doubt I've had highs, but I've definitely had lows, like, you know what I mean? I've had a relegation, I've lost a cup final in the last minute, I've had personal lows where, you know, you're not playing well, you go through bad times, but that's football, and it's times like, you know, Saturday night where you're a league winner again, you know, I'm getting older in my career, so, you know, maybe you cherish them that little bit more as well. So, no, listen, I'm very grateful for everybody that's helped me, and you know, all management, all players, all staff that throughout my career. Now, it's I'm lucky that I've, touch wood, I've stayed injury free for a lot of it, and I'm still in quite relatively good condition. So hopefully, I'll be able to keep playing for another few years, and then before I look to hang up the boots. But no, at the moment things are going well. You know, like I said, it can unravel very fast as well. So I'd be careful not to say too much.
And Ronan, what about a word for the manager, Stephen Bradley? Because in his early days, he had his critics, and some people suggested that the job might be too big for him. But Stephen and Glenn Cronin and Stephen McPhail, their role in all of this, in creating the atmosphere for this team to progress, win the cup last year, win the league this year. But Stephen Bradley deserves enormous credit, doesn't he?
Really does, genuinely. I mean, when I came in 4 years ago, he wouldn't have been that much older than me in terms of we would have played against each other a good bit, and but he had such a high level of football and knowledge in comparison to me. Like, he would have just seen things that I just wouldn't have seen. He would have been able to, I think when I came in, he could have been early 30s, could have been 32, 33. So, I mean, but he possessed this high level football knowledge that just struck me straight away on day one that, you know, I really knew I was coming into a club that was going to be guided by, you know, a young manager that was hungry, but had a vision in terms of how he wanted to achieve it. He wanted to be where we are now, doing it his way, doing it in a certain type of way of football that was being played. We rarely went away from what he told me on day one. You know, some games you will have to change it on a specific day, but, you know, 9 times out of 10, you know, we try and achieve the same things by doing what he preached to us on the day one. And as the years have gone by, the group has undoubtedly got stronger. And another, you know, really strong area is how he's recruited players. He's, you know, recruited a squad that, you know, has now, over the last couple of years, has been building the challenge. And hopefully now going forward, you know, we'll maintain that. But no, listen, between himself, Glenn, and Darren, Dylan, Jose, Steve McPhail, they've got a great rapport. They're like, you know, they're up in the work they do off the pitch is unbelievable. As players, we get everything, you know, every opportunity, every chance. We're given the best chance before every game in terms of homework, whether we treat every team with respect, regardless of whether we're playing AC Milan or we're playing, you know, a club in the, you know, in the FA Cup or in the League Cup. It doesn't matter. They do. Their attention to detail is spot on. And he's got, like, listen, I mean, he's a brilliant, brilliant young manager, and he's, you know, he's hungry, and he'll want more. He won't be sitting there, you know, he'll be, you know, too content. He'll be looking, and he'll be already, no doubt, planning for next season. It just is, you know, he deserves so much credit.
Ronan Cork won the FAI Cup in 2017, then obviously went on to win the league in 2018, and you have done something very, very similar and win the FAI Cup last year and then going on to win the league this year. What's next then for Shamrock Rovers in order to stay at the top? Obviously, Cork have gone the other way completely. What is it that you have to do now to stay on top of the game in domestically?
I think the club is in such a good place right now in terms of everything in the club, and from the youth right away to the top, and it's been run off like off the pitch. It's been run really, really well. The right people are in control of that area. So the behind the scenes is very, very solid. I'm not sure what Cork's situation was. I have no idea. But, I mean, definitely the, you know, a certain level of investment that was put into the club that would have been invested wisely, spent wisely, no doubt. Listen, we're now got the Champions League to look forward to, which then, if you transpires, you fall out of that, you go into Europa League. Then if you fall out of that, you go into Europa League 2, which is going to start in 2021. So this title for us was always important. Whoever won this year and would always have had a huge opportunity next year in Europe. So for us, that was, and the money that can, you know, that can provide for the football club is, you know, is, unless we all know that the money in the domestic game just isn't really there, to be honest. The money to earn proper money in as a League of Ireland club, you need to be, you know, making it in Europe. And how 2021 will work, obviously, if you're, you know, fall out of Champions League, Europa League, Europa League 2, you've got opportunities to do well in Europe. And then it becomes back to domestically. You don't stand still. If the manager needs to go into the transfer market, maybe there's certain areas he wants to improve, I'm sure the club will give him the investment to go and do that. But you can't just be content, because Bowles were very, very strong this season. No doubt Dundalk will come back. You know, St. Pat's will recruit again. So everybody's going to be chasing next year. This year we've set the bar, just like the Dundalk had done in previous years. So now we've set the bar, so there'll be no doubt other teams will be coming, trying to take us off our perch. But listen, behind the scenes, the club is definitely in a strong place. So, I mean, we just need to make sure that on the pitch, our job, that we keep bringing the club forward.
Well, listen, Ronan, congratulations. 4 league medals in all, 2 at Dundalk now, 2 at Shamrock Rovers, of course. And you mentioned your UCD days, and I know that league medal from 2009 is very special for you and holds a very special place. Wednesday night, you'll be lifting the trophy as captain of Shamrock Rovers. That's going to be a very special moment for you, but it's just such a shame. And I know we're talking about football against the backdrop of a pandemic, but it's just such a shame, isn't it, that there won't be fans there to watch it.
It is, yeah. This would be the first, you know, proper real moment that I'm sure we'll feel it. Like, you know, you undoubtedly there's a massive difference when you're playing a match. You know, if you compare it back to the game in April against the Dock, where you know if the pitch is just surrounded by fans and it's an unbelievable atmosphere and the energy, and then the flip side of that is you play at home and there's just bars, empty seats, and you know, you can hear everybody. It's almost like that friendly style where you can just hear the background, you can hear everybody, but on the pitch or it's management. But as a job, as a player, you need to get over that, and you need to, you know, at the end of the day, you're paid to get 3 points, so you don't have time to, you know, to let that affect you. You know, you can't use that as an excuse. But Wednesday will be tough in terms of, you compare it to the FEI Cup, you know, how that moment felt in lifting the trophy in front of 30,000 people in the Aviva to what it is now come Wednesday. But listen, it is what it is. I'm sure every Shamrock Rovers fan will be absolutely over the moon that, that we've achieved this. They understand, we understand that at this moment in time, we can't be together to celebrate together. Who knows? Hopefully we can, as a group, we can achieve continued success in 2021. If outside, you know, things outside football beyond our control start improving, that, we can be, you know, these opportunities there to celebrate things together. But come Wednesday, listen, it's not going to be ideal. You know, it'll be definitely different for a group of players. But listen, we all have so much gratitude to the fans. They've been unbelievable in terms of, I know they had a campaign for the club to continue support, raising money. You can't say enough about the fans at the football club. They're just unbelievable. And it is such a shame that we can't be there together. But listen, I'm sure they'll... they all went to bed the other day, happy people, knowing that the title was back in Pala.
Okay. Well, listen, congratulations once again. Well done to everybody involved. Shamrock Rovers champions. Ronan Finn, many thanks for joining us on the RTÉ Soccer Podcast. Now, Conan, we mentioned it, and you referenced Cork City and the glory days of Cork just a couple of years ago, that, you know, winning the double, relegated at the weekend. Quite a swift end to their involvement in the Premier Division. They'll be playing First Division football next season. It's a big loss to the Premier Division, though, a club of the size of Cork City going down, isn't it?
Yeah, Adrian, it's a huge loss. But I think the writing was on the wall even last season, being totally honest. They really struggled in terms of their recruitment at the beginning of last season. And they didn't. They were with the budgets that were cut. Even when John Caulfield was manager, the writing was on the wall. I felt, and it was always a problem with bringing in players from England, Adrian. It just doesn't seem to work with any club. You might get one out of 15 or 20 that actually does, and when you bring a handful over, it hasn't worked. So, I think there's better players that know the league in this country. But why does it always have to be just across the water? We're crying out for players that can play that play at a European pedigree, that are only willing to, they'd be love to come over and play top flight football in Ireland. But I think even when Neil Fenn did come in as manager last season, I don't think he would have signed if he knew what was really going on, and in terms of the budgets and in terms of going on what was going on behind the scenes. And even now with the club now up for sale, more or less, it's not a great situation that Cork is in at all. And they have some wonderful people down there, wonderful players still at the club, and it's just a really big shame, as you say, because Cork is a huge club for domestically.
Yeah, James, we were obviously talking about the joy of Shamrock Rovers fans on Saturday night. By direct contrast, the emotions that Cork City fans were going through on Saturday night, seeing their team relegated, it was tough, very, very hard. And of course, the immediate future of the club will be, well, it'll move on a step or two this week, because there's a potential sale to go through. The Forests, people involved with Forests, are having a meeting on Wednesday night, possibly to sell the club on to the group owned by Trevor Hemming. So it's a big week in that regard. But your thoughts on the demise of Cork City?
I think it's very similar to what Conan said. I think, thinking back to when Neil came in last year, I think his first game was a away cup game to Galway, which they lost. So it was very tough on them. I think if you're a Cork City fan, the writing's been on the wall for a while. On the Finn Harps win just ended it for them. I think they all knew where they were going. They were all going to be in the First Division. And the problem is, even if you look at the First Division now, it's a very, very difficult league to get out of. An incredibly different league to get out of. It'll be tough. I don't understand why they're like Cork, I'm going to say Cork, Derry, Sligo, etc. They've always had good players in the locality coming into the club and coming up through the club. And I don't know where that's gone in Cork over the last couple of years. As Conan said there, like, bringing in players from the UK doesn't always work in this league. This league isn't as easy as a league as people think it's going to be when they come over here. They think, oh, it's only League of Ireland. But when they actually step foot in it, they realise it's a lot tougher than they expected. And unfortunately for Cork City, that's what's happened in Cork. The players just haven't worked out for them. And the ultimate thing is that if you don't win games, you get relegated no matter how big a club you are.
And Conan, when you were mentioning they're bringing players in from England, were you suggesting that clubs in Ireland obviously need to be developing their own players? That's perhaps a given. But are you talking about maybe clubs looking broader than just England or Scotland or Wales or wherever, that they should be looking towards Europe, to countries like, I don't know, Norway or Poland or whatever?
Yeah, absolutely. But obviously, what I mentioned first there is looking at your own. We've set up a fantastic underage system here, but from under 13s all the way up to under 19s. Now, I know there's a bit of a gap between under 19s to senior level, and that needs to be looked at. But 100%, I do still think that we should be looking further afield. A club should be looking further afield to bring players in. The likes of Scandinavia, the likes of Holland, and I remember, for instance, we brought over a player that was playing in the second division in Holland, Jordy Balk, and we were really struggling for a centre half at the time. He came over and he was absolutely outstanding for us in that season where we were nearly relegated, if you can remember. And so he was the type of player that we really needed at the time, a ball playing centre half, because that's what Liam wanted at the time. But he was strong, physical, and could play football. And I think a lot of people think that it's not a technically based league. It is. It's so technically based in the league here. And I see the difference in comparison, even when playing up north compared to playing down here, that it's so much more technical and tactical as well. And some players really have found that part of the game really tough.
And even but take that aside, there was an instance there a couple of weeks ago where Neil Fenn was still manager and he brought in a couple of players and let one, Darragh O'Connor, leave the club. And the next day then he was gone. And Darragh O'Connor then was left in limbo. Darragh O'Connor was wanting to see if his papers had already been signed to be released. And they had, so he wasn't able to come back to the club. Whereas another player was told to leave as well. He stood his ground and has been playing every week for the club. So it just goes to show that it's just not working down there, whatever went on. And they lost a huge player in Darragh O'Connor and obviously he signed for Cliftonville this week.
Okay, listen, we move it on and we wish Cork City well with regards to the future. Such a big, big club with a terrific fan base and a marvellous stadium as well. But as James said, getting back out of the First Division, that could prove to be very, very difficult. But we'll see what happens with Cork City. Dundalk, for their part, they have to try and see if they can ensure European football for next season. Of course, beaten by Mulder in the Europa League last week. Big tie on Thursday against Arsenal at the Emirates. That's one to look forward to, one to savour, no doubt about it. But of course, as mentioned, they have to ensure that they qualify for Europe next season. And they suffered a setback at the weekend, beaten at the RSC by 1-0 by Watford John Martin with the only goal of the game. After the match, John Kenny spoke to Dundalk defender Brian Gartland.
We had enough of the ball, enough chances. Our quality with it probably wasn't good enough.
Difficult, obviously, chopping and changing the squad. I mean, you have a balanced squad and you know you're starting 11, but with the amount of games that's coming thick and fast, you have to chop and change things around. That can't be easy, and that's not the way probably the club would like to be run.
No, but we've got quality there, so you've got players you can bring in and you should be able to, you know, stay fluid and keep your same game going and have enough quality to beat any team in this league. That's the way we feel. That's the quality we've put in our squad. So it's disappointing today. I thought first half we showed, you know, we were good in glimpses, and I suppose as the game went on and maybe just tired minds and tired legs went, and you know, we just sort of lacked ideas and creativity.
When you reflect on the Malda game, you had great spell in the first half, a fantastic goal to take the lead, but obviously Malda got on top in the second half. Had you time to reflect on maybe things might be different next time you face them, or obviously the game's against Rapid and obviously Arsenal this week?
Yeah, obviously did a couple of patterns of play that hurt us, or they pinned us back and pinned our wingers back. So we learned from that. But second half in the Mulder game, yeah, we probably showed them a little bit too much respect. Yeah. They got their foot on it and we didn't retain the ball well enough. And if you keep giving the ball back to a quality side in Europe, you know, you run the risk of getting hurt.
Obviously, you're an experienced player and you know what it's like to play in European football. How did you find that match on Thursday at Tala against Mulder?
Yeah, I thought it was a level we're well able for. That's why I'm disappointed in us, especially in the second half. You know, our application just wasn't good enough from what we expect. We know, you know, you're going up levels in Europe, but that's not out of our reach there the other night. So that's why, you know, we're very disappointed coming off the pitch, and we showed that in the first half. And I don't know whether, I suppose, you know, we just have the better mentality going forward in future and believe in ourselves, believe in our ability on the ball, and go out and you know, I suppose try show everything you're capable of doing.
Obviously a disappointing defeat to Waterford, but now it's got to focus on the Arsenal game. Huge match for the club.
Yeah, it's a massive game for the club, but I suppose today's results, you know, means we're focusing on St Pat's next weekend. There's a massive game for the club to make sure we're back in Europe again. That's why we needed a result here today, so we could take that little bit of pressure off our backs and maybe enjoy these big games coming forward. So realistically, you know, obviously we only look one game at a time, but they might have to, you know, look at Thursday night with an aim to Sunday against Pats as well, because Pats are the team chasing us for a third spot.
I suppose in the overall context of what's happened this season as well, the fact that you're actually in the Europa League, you know, you wouldn't have it any other way. I know there's a lot of games coming thick and fast as well, but I suppose you wouldn't have it any other way, especially like a game against Arsenal coming up this week.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's a massive tie. It's a glamour tie, and it's one you dream about. There's footballers over here, like myself, only played, you know, my whole career here. You're looking at playing a big stadium and against top players in Europe. So it's something we're looking forward to. But it's a massive task as well. So it's not just going out there and, you know, enjoying a game of football and saying I've played against Arsenal. We're going there to give a good account of ourselves and do the best we can. you know, stranger things have happened in football, and that's why we all follow it, because it's unpredictable. So we'll be hoping we can be pulling off something miraculous maybe on Thursday.
I suppose it's good you got a couple of games in the Europa League behind you this season as well, and also in the Champions League, so you know what to expect against continental sides, but we know obviously what to expect against a team like Arsenal, who are a top quality side. Isn't that true?
Yeah, that's very true. Like I said, it's about levels, and even in Europe you're going up levels against different opposition, and that's, you see that in the seedings, in the pots a lot of the time, all the Rapid Vienna, Arsenal, but Arsenal are top, you know, they're Champions League usually most years. You're looking under Mikel Arteta now and the football they play, and they're playing right out from the back, and if you press up, they're then trying to hit you deep, you know, goalkeeper got good distribution, and they're I suppose easy on the eye to watch these days, and they're a project in the making, so it really is going to be a tough task, but we'll go and enjoy it.
That's Brian Gartland speaking to John Kenny after that defeat for Dundalk, the RSC. Conan, it's a tricky balancing act, isn't it, for Filippo Giovagnoli in terms of Europe and domestic competition. The glamour, obviously, of Arsenal on Thursday night. Everybody will be talking about that game. But equally, they've got a massive game against Pats at the weekend.
It's the most important game, Adrian, is the game against Pats at the weekend, because they need to secure that third spot in order to qualify for Europe next season, where they hope to go on another little run that they've gone on this year. But I love the mentality of Brian there. He's there very disappointed coming off the second half. I know a lot of pundits were saying that Malda just stepped up a gear, but Brian's there saying, no, we didn't. We didn't reach the levels that we had reached in the first half. So he was kind of saying, no, it's that's our fault. It wasn't Malda getting better. It was us being poor. And I love that, taking responsibility. And when others would easily say, oh, yeah, Malda, we're just stepped it up. And so it was great mentality from Brian. Yeah. Thought John Mountney on the night was really, really good. It's probably one of his best games I've seen him play. Brilliant cross for the goal. But yeah, Thursday is all about... is all about, as Brian said, the aim for Sunday. So it'll be very surprised to see what team Filippo puts out on Thursday. Will he put out his strongest 11? I very much doubt it, because they need to secure that third spot, and that's the most important thing.
That has been the tricky part, James, for Filippo and for everybody involved with Dundalk, because there's so many matches, and we knew obviously already about the heavy fixture list that they would have to face, but they've got Arsenal on Thursday, Pats on Sunday, as Conan said. He's had to chop and change his team, and there's been so much disruption. It's hard to get the balance right when you come to team selection and, you know, prioritising.
Yeah, the priority for him is obviously he wants to do good in Europe, but they have to be there in Europe next year. Like, they've got Pats, and then I think they've got Sligo Rovers, I think, is their last game of the season. A win in order to them will get it. I'm fully confident they'll finish third in the league. I think they'll beat Pats on Sunday in Richmond Park. On Thursday night, as Conan said, like, Brian's one of the most honest players you're going to come across. He'll tell you exactly what it's like. If he's played a bad game, he'll tell you he's played a bad game. If they've all played a bad game, they've let their standards slip, he'll tell you that. I'm not 100% sure if the chopping and changing the squad is helping them. I don't know. Conan has obviously played at this level before. Myself and you, Adrian, just slightly below it, I think. But like, I don't know whether playing games is what you want to do, instead of, because you're not training much, because you're game. So I don't know why you would keep on switching the squad as much as he has. Although Dundalk have a big squad who should be able to switch in and out, no question. But for continuity, I think you'd rather keep your squad going as long as you can as the starting 11.
But really, Conan, it's about the volume of games. What do you think? James is asking the question. Would you agree that Filippo Giovagnoli has to make so many changes from game to game so that players get rest and time to recover for the next game, because they're playing matches effectively every 3-4 days now?
Not really, being totally honest with you. Yeah. I'm just, look, they're not in the middle of a really strenuous season. They only had to play, what, I think they've played 14 games so far this season. Yes, they've had a couple of European games, and the games are building up thick and fast now. I just like when I was playing anyway. I never played at Europa League level, of course, like group stages, but I never liked being taken out of the team. And that was just a case of, because if it was just a confidence thing, it was just like, keep me in the team, take me off after 60 minutes if you want, but
yeah,
just keep let me get the confidence of playing every week and playing every, because that, in fairness, that's what Liam did to me. I never got a break with Liam, but that's what I wanted. I never wanted to come off the bench or to sit in the stands when the games were going on. Now I know sports science will tell you differently. Your body needs to recover. You need to, in terms of hydration, in terms of looking after your stretching and yoga and everything that goes on these days. So sports science will tell you that, no, they shouldn't be playing these type of games so quickly. But why not just ask the players and see how they feel? Players know their own bodies more than anybody else. And I think that the bodies of the players should be listened to more than the science of it. I know that kind of sounds silly, but I've been playing, as I said, 15, 16 years, and I never, ever wanted a rest, even if I was playing three games in a week. Yes, I might have been taken off at halftime or at 60 minutes in games when we might have been two or three up or whatever, but I think that's the way I'd look at it anyway.
Okay, all right, listen, we move on. I know James can't wait to talk about the First Division. The final round of matches taking place on Tuesday night. What a night we have in prospect, with Drogheda and Bray Wanderers vying for top spot and automatic promotion to the Premier Division. Drogheda 1 point ahead of Bray Wanderers, but away to Cavintilly, who are in the playoff positions, of course, as well. And Bray Wanderers away to Athlone Town. James, you've been studying, because that's the kind of guy you are. You've been studying the permutations here. Talk us through it in layman's terms, if you can.
Well, basically, as slow as possible, there's only three teams go into tomorrow night's final games that haven't got a chance of getting into the promotion relegation playoffs. All the way down to Cove in seventh can get there. So if Drogheda win against Cavintilly, that puts Drogheda as champions. Bray are guaranteed second. Then you've got Galway at UCD. If Galway beat UCD, that would see Cavintilly drop out of the top five. And then to throw another spanner in the works, Longford are away to Wexford. And if they lose, they'll obviously lose by a minimum of one goal. And if Cove win at Shamrock Rovers, they're playing against Shamrock Rovers, they'll win by a minimum of a goal. So you could end up with Longford and Cove both on 29 points, and both with a goal difference of 3 goals. After that, I've no idea how they sort it out if it does happen. But you could see, you could literally see two of the top five drop out of it and sixth and seventh place go into the top five. So it's just crazy to think, like, it was crazy enough watching the Finn Harps Bowls game the other night with three permutations where a team could be claimed champions, a team could be relegated, and Finn Harps could still have a chance of staying in the Premier Division. But tomorrow night could see a team become champions, two teams that have been, one who spent the vast majority of the league on top in Cavintilly, lose out on a playoff place, and Longford lose out on a playoff place, and Galway and Cove jump into the playoff places. It's just really, really interesting that it comes down to this final game of the season for that all to be sorted.
No matter what happens, Conan, it's going to be dramatic, isn't it?
It's going to be really, really good. Really looking forward to it. I was surprised, being honest with you, that Bray didn't pick up a result against Galway. I saw the last couple of minutes of that game on the stream, and it was Bray had a wonderful opportunity to score right before Carlton went up the other end of the pitch and got his goal in the last minute, and sparked jubilant scenes in the touchline with John Caulfield and the rest of the squad running out onto the pitch. And it's the third time since John has taken over as manager that he's got an injury time winner. So the John Caulfield effect is certainly going down well in Galway, and so Drogheda, they've been kind of up there thereabouts for the whole season. They'll fancy their chances on Tuesday to get over the line. They have a tough game because you don't know what side Cavintilly are gonna turn up. They could win. You could beat Cavintilly one day 3-0 and go up back up the next week and get beaten 5-0 by them. They're just so unpredictable this season, and it's going to be a fascinating game. But I do think, with the experience that Drogheda have in their squad, that they'll go up and get a result. But yeah, absolutely fascinating, and fair play to you, James. That was fantastic. I'm going to actually bring you into my class to teach them data next time, if that's okay.
No problem.
Socially distance, obviously. James, yeah. Yeah. Conan, just a word on the women's national team beaten in Ukraine on Friday by a 2-0. things really went against them. It feels, I mean, they can still qualify, but it does feel like a lost opportunity, perhaps.
It was, wasn't it? It was really disappointing. Even like everything that went wrong for him on the night went wrong for him. Anya O'Gorman, who's a legend, Irish international, over 100 caps, and the back pass, yeah, wasn't great. Goalkeeper didn't really move her feet, and unfortunately, it trickled in over the line, and the penalty, the perfect opportunity to score, to get back into the game, and Katie McCabe crashes it off the crossbar, so unlike her. And the chances that we had.
Yeah, it's a shame. Ireland beaten by Ukraine on Friday by 1-0, but they can still qualify. So fingers crossed, we'll have to wait and see. James, before we go, a couple of big matches coming up. Obviously, Champions League live on Tuesday night, Liverpool against Midtjylland. And on Wednesday, Shamrock Rovers, crown champions. The presentation will all be live on RT2 television. Shamrock Rovers against Derry City, and you'll be hoping that Derry City will spoil the party, won't you?
Well, fingers crossed. I must say, in fairness, there's one person I haven't mentioned tonight. That's Aaron McInniff, left Derry in search of trophies, and fair play to him. He's won an FAI Cup and now a League Cup in the two seasons he's been at Shamrock Rovers. I'm over the moon for him. Personally, I think he's been great for Shamrock Rovers, and it was a great move for him. But if Derry can get a win on Wednesday night, it does keep their slim hopes of grabbing that fourth place still alive. But it depends on, obviously, Pat's results behind them. So, yeah, good to see that. And also, obviously, keeping the Derry link alive, Liverpool versus Midtjylland. It'd be interesting to see, obviously, Midtjylland schooled Derry 2 years ago in the Europa League. So it'd be interesting to see how they go up against Liverpool and what kind of form they bring into that. That'd be an interesting toy as well.
Okay. All right, listen, lads, we leave it there. Conan, many thanks. And also James O'Toole. We'll be back next week. From all of us, bye-bye.